Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I apologize for the delay. Our guest has been having some technical difficulties getting on, but I think we have her with us. Phil, is that you?
Yes, you do. I am now unmuted.
Okay, it worked.
It worked.
Phil is here with us to talk about an update on the English program in Cantalombo. So for those of you who follow along with these sorts of things, you'll remember that Phil came with us last, July or so, coming up on a year, really.
It was last July.
To Cantalombo and put in place the pilot English program for the very young little guys over there. And she's been doing a wonderful job ever since, tracking it and staying in touch with them and encouraging them and helping them along their way. And so she's here to give us an update tonight. So thanks for being with us.
Well, you're welcome. And it's been quite fun, you know. Almost every week they send, you know, this update.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so wonderful. You know, they say, you know, what they're, how the schedule's going and what lesson they're on and, you know, how the children are doing with the lesson and what they're doing with the children and which children are learning. I mean, it's just so nice to, you know, be able to keep up with it like that. And then I go look up the lesson and then see if I have any other ideas or anything I could send them back. So.
Oh, that's fun. I wonder how you were able to get such detail in responding to them. I was always impressed by that. That's such a great idea.
Yeah, well, most of the time, you know, sometimes even just from what they say, I can think of, you know, something will arise. I taught school for so long, it's kind of automatic. And yet, to get specific, I go, say, what lesson are they on? And I look and I want to see, you know, what words maybe they're learning and
Mm-hmm.
and try to think of some kind of new game that's not already in a lesson.
And I saw a response recently that came through from Joy, who is the teacher who's captaining that effort there, saying, oh, my gosh, Sister Phil, you're helping us so much with your suggestions.
Yeah, that was nice to hear because, you know, you don't know because they're kind of using a form when they send the report.
Yeah.
And it looks like, I mean, mostly I just want to encourage them because it looks like they're doing an absolutely marvelous job with these kids, you know, from what the reports, you know, come back as saying. And it's just so nice, you know, even when, they'll say maybe this little child was sick, but we went over to their house to go see how she was.
I know.
Stuff like that, yeah.
It's such a, the sense of community comes through so strongly, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah, it really does. And, you know, the names of each of the kids that are doing things, it's just really nice.
Yeah.
That are really catching on, you know, according to them. That
they're really picking it up.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to go see if, you know, how it really...
I can't remember when I heard the story, but somewhat recently I think it was that Teresa was saying that she was over there because where the program is sort of on one corner of the Living Compassion property. And so she went over there one day and was with them. And she must have said something to one of the other adults in Bemba. And one of the kids said to her, no, Teresa, Auntie Teresa, we're speaking English here.
That's so perfect. They got it, I think. English zone.
That's so the thing, isn't it, Phil, that the reason we're starting with the really little kids is just knowing that kids are such a sponge for learning the stuff and that they're the ones, I mean, they have so much less conditioning around learning. It really fits perfectly with our Learning to Love Learning project. You know, they're so just eager. They don't even think of it as learning. It's just fun. It's just games. And for them to really pick it up. And then we're hoping the sort of peer pressure will work in the opposite direction where the kids will be the ones that really have English catch on in the community.
Yeah, and I think it's doing that. You know, the other thing I like to look at is Teresa's blog, you know, News from Cantalombo.
Thank you.
To me, that's just fascinating. And and so fun. And she has a lot of things in there about the program. And I think one of them was a picture of one of the little children. And she says that, I think the caption was something like, she, you know, went home and was making, you know, having her parents speak in,
yep,
in English,
yep,
and the brothers and sisters, you know, trying to teach it to the family.
No, I love it. I think that was,
yeah,
actually little Jen, Beauty's daughter.
Was it? Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she seems to be one of the ones that are catching on very well.
Yeah, well,
and
she's among the older of the, she's sort of at the older edge of the kids in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be probably why, too. The other story I really loved was the one I think you put in the monastery newsletter about the big kids hearing the singing and going over and wanting to sing the English songs with the little kids.
Yeah, I love that, too.
I thought that was just so great.
Yeah, yeah, that for folks who may not have seen it or read it, that the older children who come for the launch program and tutoring and that sort of thing, you know, could hear what was going on over with the little kids and just started to gravitate over there. And so now after school, just informally, they just go and hang out and sing the English songs with the little kids. And
yeah, because these English songs are actually the teaching tool of one of the teaching tools of this program. So, you know, the big kids are learning the songs too. They're helping their English along as well.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. And thanks for mentioning that blog. That's a really amazing effort of the
program. I love it.
The team in Cantalamba. And that, you know, it struck me too when you were saying how Joy and Susan, the teachers who are teaching the English program, every week they're sending that report. And that's one of the amazing things that's happened over the years is how solid the team there has gotten on communication and reporting. They're just really, it's amazing. And every single week, Teresa takes pictures, and then at the end of the week, she goes through and chooses the ones that she feels like best represent what's going on. And she writes captions, and Veronica helps her with that. And then they email them off. And, you know, it's no small feat, the steps that
go
through to
not.
Do it. And then we actually have a volunteer in the Sangha who, when those come in from Teresa, I send them off to him, and he gets them all cleaned up and posts them on a blog. So that's on the website under the Africa tab. So that's coming in just about every week. So be sure to...
Yeah, news from Cantalamba. And it's really not to be missed. I just, that's my one of my favorite parts
of the website.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
it's, I'd say it's going pretty well,
I mean,
for what we can tell from this end.
Yeah, and we'll find out firsthand pretty soon, huh?
We will. Yeah, and that's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Yep. So we're
will.
Headed back there in the middle of August.
Yep, in the middle of August. And the last report I think I got, they said, looking forward to seeing you soon, so they know we're coming now. So
yeah, they do.
That's really fun.
So Sister Phil and me and a woman in the Sangha who is putting together a sort of, English program, what am I trying to say, verbal English skills for the older children, and probably some of the adults. We're still working out exactly what the target group is going to be there. And the three of us will be headed there in mid-August. We'll be there for a little over a couple of weeks. And so people can tune into the blogs, of course, during that time.
Yeah, that's great. That's going to be so much fun. And it'll be fun for everybody at home, I know, because they're always talking about the blogs.
You know, and I realize, you know, this has been such a big year here at home, and there's been so much going on here that we really haven't had a chance to talk much about Africa. And even for me, even though I'm getting those emails every week, it's easy to forget there is a whole other world going on over there in Cantalamba. You know, a whole other Living Compassion team doing a whole other amazing amount of work. So
it is.
It's
That's
fun
what
to get
I'm
on the good news every now and then and just remember
it
that.
It is. And when you said there's a whole other world, I was going to say that exact same thing. The thrilling part is it's a whole other Living Compassion world, you know, it's us over there, even when we're not there. And it's just really something.
Well, thank you so much for being on, Sister Phil.
You're quite welcome, Jen.
All right. We'll see you soon.
So yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael. So I think it's time to officially start the show, huh?
Okay. Great. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Great to have you here.
Thank you, Michael.
You just reignited my inner number one Africa blog fan. I was like, oh,
yeah. I was hoping
yeah.
I might.
I was like, wow, 3 weeks of blogs. Oh, I'm
I
so
know.
Excited.
It's fun, isn't it? I mean, even I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was really glad to be reminded about the news from Cantalumba page,
yeah.
which, as you just mentioned, updated weekly. It's really fun to go there and see what's new and exciting and all that.
It is, and just so fun to just see the adorable little faces.
Yes.
Yes. Or adorable big faces.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Friends at this point over the years.
Yeah, truly. Truly. Yep. They're part of the family.
Yep.
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 Great. I have some announcements here.
Okay.
Registration is now open for the East Coast version of I Don't Want To, I Don't Feel Like It retreat.
Wow.
And this is the last time this retreat, which is based on Sherry and Ashwini's latest book, will be offered this season.
Are you going to fly across the country for it, Michael?
That's a great question. I was just about to say, you know, if you went to the first one and you didn't want to and didn't feel like it, and you still don't want to and don't feel like it, here's another opportunity.
Exactly. Yeah, unbelievable. It's a phenomenal retreat, so definitely
yes.
big encouragement to do that.
Great. And a new quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies is about to begin. This program is an excellent way to keep in touch with Sangha by connecting once a week over the phone.
It is a really good opportunity, yeah. And I would, encourage everyone, but especially all those, there is nothing wrong with you graduates who have recently left the monastery in the last, several months in this retreat season. That would be an excellent way to follow up and support your practice.
Yes, and as we often talk about, having a requirement to show up at a certain place at a certain time for practice is really great and supportive to my practice.
It really is. Yeah, just people talk about all kinds of being in the middle of crazy sort of conditioned
yes.
storms of either content or just process in the head and looking at the clock and saying, okay, well, it's time to drop that. It's time for my
yes.
call.
Yes, exactly.
And how amazing it is to prove to oneself that that can be done when you have to. You will drop it.
Yes. And what I hear is that people prove that to themselves over and over and over and over.
Every week.
Yep. Great. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to find out more and to sign up for any of these events. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on about 5 minutes and one topic. Shall we get started?
Let's do it.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Dan calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I am calling because I like to call in every so often and check in, and this was a good night, so I'm checking in.
Excellent.
And let's see, I think, I don't know, things are going really well here. Last time I called in, I had a 3-day-old daughter who's
yeah.
now a four-month and change old daughter.
Wow, so
yeah.
very different, but a lot the same.
Yeah, actually, she's still little. She still doesn't talk much.
Okay.
But it's just been great. It's just been really great. It's you guys were just talking about reflective listening buddies, which I also love. It's the same thing. Like, no matter what's going on, I walk into the room where she is and, maybe she needs my attention or maybe not, but she gets it. And whatever was going on in my head until that moment just gets dropped because now I need to drop that and do this and it's so much nicer.
What an amazing opportunity.
Yeah. You know, so that's been really good. And it helps to have that, because it's happening so often, it's good practice for the rest of the day when I'm, you know, for the parts of the day when I'm not with her.
Right.
You know, the more I practice dropping what's going on in my head and turning to whatever's going on in front of me, the easier it is to do that, you know, more and more and more. So I find that getting interrupted at work isn't a bad thing anymore. It's just a shift of what's going on instead of I was trying to do this and now somebody's in my way.
Uh-huh. Oh, that is a big shift. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So instead of, I mean, really, that somebody's in my way, that's such a clear kind of, there's an I there who has an agenda, whether it was seen before that interruption or not. And then, but having the interruption be received as almost a gift, it sounds like, of, okay, this is what life is giving me now, and turning to that is just such a much nicer way to live, isn't it? Than,
it is. It's, you know, it's like somebody decides what my job is. You know, it's mm-hmm. supposed to be to accomplish this at this time or something.
Yeah.
And then anything else is a problem.
Yeah.
But you know, this way it's more like, well, no, the job is whatever shows up to be the job. And so it may not be what I sat down to do.
Exactly.
If somebody walks in who would like attention.
Yeah.
And attention is just such a much, that's the thing about the baby, about, I don't think I gave her name last time because we hadn't named her. Her name's Lillian.
Lillian,
yeah.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
The thing about Lillian is that it's like, it's so obvious that the only thing I can give her is attention because I'm not the one giving her food. Okay. And so really all I have to give is attention because
yeah.
if I give her stuff, she can't even, you know, she can
right.
barely grasp it at the moment. So attention is all I've got.
Uh-huh.
And practicing that also makes it really clear when I'm at work that really attention is the best thing I can give. Like getting something done, useful but sort of temporary.
Uh-huh.
And attention, I guess, is even in some ways more temporary, but it feels more more like a lasting gift, I think.
Well, especially in that, and, you know, who knows what's going on with the other person that you're interacting with, but potentially as you give that undivided, unconditional attention, you're modeling that possibility.
Mm.
And that is a very long-term gift.
Yeah, that could be. I there's no way to know, you know, but certainly it's a much nicer gift to myself because
mm-hmm.
anytime I'm doing that, giving that undivided attention, I get a break from, you know, whatever conditioning would like to be doing to me. So
yeah, but you also receive the undivided attention.
Yeah, yes,
so
exactly.
When the attention is in the present moment, we're receiving undivided attention.
Right. Yeah, so it's like, it's nice. So Lillian's come along and gives me practice in dropping whatever to give attention to what's in front of me. And then by doing that more, I end up doing it more. And the more I do it, the you know, it's like the less I have to complain about.
Yeah, exactly. And the more I project, you just want to do it because you see, oh, my goodness, this is really giving me the life that I want. Why would I not
yeah.
do this all the time?
Right,
yeah.
right, exactly. And, you know, the reason I wouldn't do it all the time is because conditioning keeps, you know, I'm trained not to, basically.
Exactly.
But,
that's all.
But, but that's the only reason.
Exactly. That's the only reason. It's not because I don't want to and I don't feel like it.
Right.
It's truly
right.
because I do want to and I do feel like it, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, so I just wanted to check in and say hi to everybody. I guess that's why I called.
Great.
So thank
well, thanks
much.
For the update on you and Lillian.
You bet.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks, Dan. Take good care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Dan. Jen, I just love that reminder about the focus of our attention and the gift that it is for ourselves and for other people. It's just
yes.
wonderful.
It is, isn't it? And it's so true what Dan was saying, that when I'm, quote, giving my attention to someone else, when I'm completely, at least this is my experience, really, really there
yes.
with that person, I mean, I'm the one who's completely receiving that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, and just the way he put it, because I'm not off in some conversation where it may seem like, oh, you know, I'm thinking about what I want to think about, but of course I'm not. It's not what I want to be doing at all. It's conditioning, getting what it wants.
Yes. Yeah, and what a gift to give the attention to the moment and therefore leave nothing over for conditioning to work with.
Well put. Wow. Leave nothing left over for conditioning to work with.
Wow, sign me up.
Yeah, me too. I'm inspired.
Great. And we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. This is Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi. I'm looking at something very interesting. A few weeks ago, a couple months ago, I was listening to a recording of a group session at the monastery, and it was very moving, and it was very helpful. And it felt like some part of me was just yearning for more,
mm-hmm.
and the support, and the support, and wants to go live at the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a couple weeks after that, I was reading something that Sherry wrote about the heart's desire,
mm-hmm.
what the heart wants, and it dropped in, I want to go to the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, my life in St. Louis has just been unfulfilling and not enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my house is no longer a refuge. It's something I have to get ready to sell. And if I can move, you know, and
you're saying,
I'm sorry.
You get ready to sell the house in relation to this potential life change.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So what I was kind of hoping, if it didn't work out, that I could go live at the monastery and be a monk, that I would move as close as I could, be a neighbor if I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea if that any of that will work, or if it's
right.
even, you know, the right thing for my spiritual work. Mm-hmm. But I, as soon as that, I decided that's what I want to do. Now everything's on hold. My life's on hold. I'm not enjoying myself. I'm not happy here. And I've been getting very suspicious of all that.
I was going to say, and you're smelling a rat. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look that expression up. I wonder what that really is.
What that originally
it's probably not good. So, but anyway, you're very suspicious of what's going on, because of course those two things wouldn't have to go together at all, would they?
No.
No.
And you know, this is something I don't know if this will work.
Right.
And you know, there's always this idea. Well, what if? You know, that doesn't happen. It can't come true. Then, and you're here. What, you know, is my life just going to be this empty, meaningless thing because
right.
I can't have the thing I want?
Right.
You know.
And can't you just see the setup? I mean, it's like conditioning, putting all the pieces just ever so carefully. This house of cards, setting it in place. So, you know, you have this really big insight. You know, big inspiration, you see this thing. And so, okay, there's that. And so then conditioning has to start to work with that in some way. And so piece number one is, okay, perfect opening for big dissatisfaction where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if it's successful in getting that piece in place, you know the next thing it's going to do is to knock down the possibility you just saw, because then it's going to have you between a rock and a hard place.
Mm-hmm.
This place now stinks, but you can't go there. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
it'll come up with whatever reason. You don't want to, or, you know, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. It always comes up with something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
But if we, the whole way along, practice, you know, however you would talk about it, being okay, loving where I am now, enjoying, you know, life here as a process, then it can't hold that over our head, because wherever we are, whatever happens, we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and living that way, being happy and grateful in the moment, is good practice for being happy and grateful wherever I am, if it's at the monastery or not.
What a good point.
Yeah, whatever happens. So I do feel okay, some emotions coming up. It does feel like needing more support.
Mm-hmm.
And I participate in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's happening is I have not, for many years I went to a lot of retreats.
Mm-hmm.
And I hardly go on retreats anymore. And I was looking at that, and like last year I went to one.
Mm-hmm.
And the year before I went to one. And I mean, that's good. It's good to go to a retreat, but it's
right.
I'm feeling like maybe what I really want is more of that too.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know, if I want to go live at the monastery, then I want to go be there when I can.
Exactly.
I can't live there right now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And is that just a process of getting talked out of it? On retreat more often?
What do you mean? Just
like, what is it that's have you? So for a while you were coming a lot on retreat.
Oh,
you're saying, and now
yeah.
You realize you're only coming once a year.
Getting talked out of it, not enough money.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I you know, my job changed to where I don't have any paid vacation
mm-hmm.
anymore. So, you know, the money thing did change, but
mm-hmm.
I just kind of accepted. I got talked out of it with money as the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just seems like the potential to celebrate that insight of, you know what, I want more support. It's
mm-hmm.
so big. And to just have that be kind of an energizing, all right, well, let's start down the path of what are the options for that?
Mm-hmm. How can I get more support?
How can I get more support?
Because I don't know where the path will lead.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And just
okay, that's
that
good.
Path.
I'm sorry?
And just enjoy that path, kind of the journey
yeah.
of discovering the support. In a way, I would imagine that really letting go into that, of the, you know what, I think I really want more support, could be such a relief to the person who wants that more support. Like someone's really listening to her.
Mm-hmm.
Really standing up and paying attention. That's a huge
mm-hmm.
thing to consider, making that kind of a life change.
Mm-hmm. 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 And it feels like there's an opening for getting more support where I am
mm.
at this time too.
Uh-huh.
That there may be, that there's, yeah, just even being willing to go get more support
yeah.
is helpful.
Yeah, truly. And like you said, you know, are my two choices go to the monastery once a year or live there? You know, might there
yeah.
be something in between those?
Yeah, yeah. Good. Okay. Well, that's, yeah. That's very helpful.
And I think
and,
oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I really didn't believe this idea that, well, now this life it sucks so bad because,
exactly.
you know, I don't have this thing I want.
Yep. Yep. Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say, is that that seems like the critical awareness, is that one process doesn't lead to another.
Mm-hmm.
So being talked into being dissatisfied now is not going to lead to satisfaction, regardless of what the content change might be.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, what is it about the monastery? And, well, there's so many things. But one thing is the support and the Sangha
mm-hmm.
and the training. And, there's I'm already kind of doing that, you know. I'm already practicing. You're right. It's not like I'm going from nothing to, I mean, there's a path here, and
yeah, exactly.
I'm on it. I'm
and
on
you're
it.
On it, exactly. You are firmly on it. You're walking it every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you. And I have signed up for the resistance retreat.
Good for you, I was going to ask. Excellent.
Yeah, I just signed up about an hour ago or so.
Oh, that's great. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, and then I'm coming to the monastery soon, like later this month. So
okay, there you go.
Yeah, that's two. And I and New Year's is in the on the horizon too, the New
okay.
Year's retreat. So
you're,
that'll help.
You're on track then.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Catherine.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open Air. Jen, I love that idea of seeking out support and letting life, you know, figure out how that happens.
Isn't it? It's such a good, and life drops in the insight. Hey, you know what? More support would be good here.
Yeah.
And then we just say, okay, great. How's that going to happen?
Yep.
And then all that starts dropping in too.
Yes. And I always need more support.
Amen.
Which reminds me of something I heard Sherry say in one of those recordings of a public talk, and that is that the person who is free is always looking for the next tip.
Oh, that's good.
It was good. It really stuck with me, as you can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that might be the next tip for a lot of us this evening.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's the fun thing, is that the tips come from all of, they come from the radio show, and they come
yes.
from reading books, and they come from billboards, and they come from, I
yes.
mean, when you're practicing, everything around, at least this is my experience, when I'm practicing, everything around me is pointing me in the direction that I want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Brilliant.
Good.
Let's break for a sponsor ad, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. Jen, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Rob from Minnesota calling.
Hey, Rob.
Hey. It's been a long time since I've called, and wanted to let you know I'm out here practicing every day. Practice is number one thing every day.
Wow.
Even though I don't get a chance to kind of intersect too often on the show, or to, I haven't yet made it out for a retreat, but I'm here with everybody and appreciating how everybody's with me.
You know, it's so good that you called in to say that. It's just, it's so inspiring and kind of supportive to all of us to remember that there are so many of us out there doing this courageous work. Really, really good to know that.
And I just am so appreciative of Michael and you and everybody and all the various practice aids, because I'm doing basically everything I can get my mitts on, and practice works.
And how's it going?
It's going really well. Conditioning always puts up a big fuss because it wants to put whatever tiny disappointment was most recent as the banner headline, you know. But that also is changing. I'm really starting to get a more realistic sense of how many good things in a day versus disappointments and things like that. And so I would say my baseline of happiness is steadily increasing through practice.
You know what I appreciate about the way you frame that, Rob, is how we're getting a more realistic sense. It's not
mm-hmm.
that it's not that like we're completely different, and which is, you know, true also, but it's the seeing it through the lens of practice instead of seeing it through the lens of conditioning that makes such a difference. And
even before
we change that lens, so much of life is working, but we never get to receive that, because if it's all at the end of the day being seen through the lens of conditioning, we don't realize it.
It's so true. And just with all the different practice methods, there just are many, many opportunities to tell the truth and often hear it reflected back, which I love the Reflective Listening Buddies programs, because each time gives conditioning a double hit.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I would say, in a big picture sense, the kind of where I am in practice, I have just one specific question, is at this kind of transition from thinking of practice mostly as a negative thing in the sense of stopping doing this and unhooking from that and so on,
mm-hmm.
to starting to be able to taste, in a way, what things are like without conditioning,
uh-huh.
which is very subtle and very quiet and kind of hard to hang on to.
Yeah.
Hard to feel, but just every moment that I can spend in reality,
yep.
I get more of a sense of a flavor of it that I can remember.
Yeah, that's really, really beautifully articulated. Have you gotten the new book yet?
Yes, I have. Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's really, what you're saying is reminding me a lot of that, of essentially that movement and practice that you're describing.
I think that that's kind of probably why I'm in part thinking of it now is because of the things in that book. There are a lot of things that were just those beautiful sort of practice flowers where it's like you're just ready to hear something phrased a certain way and it just goes,
Just that bloom just opens, ready to shine.
Exactly. And so my question is, I'm seeing more and more clearly how basically most of my kind of worries, conditioning's worries, are about, you know, people are about relationships with people. Like, someone's going to be mad at me, they don't like me, this and that. And I'm more and more starting to unhook from that. But what I would appreciate some guidance on is the positive side of that, which to me kind of goes by the word belonging. So I just wondered if you had a suggestion of a practice that could help me work on the positive feeling of belonging, because I can tell kind of that's what I want to practice.
Uh-huh. So let me make sure I'm tracking. So what you see is a lot of conditioning around relationship in terms of, are people going to like you, that sort of thing, yeah?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, do I belong? Am I going to get kicked out?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Do I belong? Am I going to get kicked out? And that for a while, I'm guessing, especially in the beginning of practice, there was a lot of seeing that, seeing how conditioning was doing that and all the different components of that. And as you say, kind of unhooking from that and dislodging your attention from it and that sort of thing.
Yep.
And now you're sensing that in the same way that your entire practice is shifting from focusing on conditioning to really focusing on life, we could say.
Right.
And what does it look like to be in life without conditioning? There's a sense of, oh, okay, well, there must be that possibility in this place, in this sort of relationship place.
Exactly.
And that it feels like focusing on belonging is one way to do that.
Yeah, and it's just, I make recordings and I use that word and it's somehow I'm not connecting with it. So anyway, any suggestions you might have would be much appreciated.
Well, and that was sort of my next question. So you're doing it, but a sense of you're being told it's not working? Is that kind of where you're...
Sometimes there are recordings that just, like, they hit your heart, and you again, you kind of soften and relax and open, and it's like, ah, and I'm not, you know, it's not, again, nothing bad is happening, but I'm not connecting. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'm being told that I'm not connecting with a with that some kind of positive sense of belonging.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a couple of things occur to me. One, sort of on the larger process issue, is so one, I'm guessing that this process of a way that you suffer has been around for a while. Would you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so maybe kind of one of the more core issues that you've had really probably your entire life. And so
yes.
May take a little bit longer than some of the others to really respond to practice in the way that you're used to seeing practice work.
Good. That's,
you know?
That's good encouragement. Yeah. No, I can see that. Yeah, this is the big one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so not to assume that just because you don't feel a certain way means that what you're doing isn't, quote, isn't working.
Okay. Good.
And,
no, it's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the other one, and I think from what I'm understanding, this is what you're doing already that just occurs to me is, you know, so we're told, oh, gosh, you know, are you going to, I can't remember, did you say included? How did you phrase
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to get kicked out? I think that's what it was.
Right. Yeah. That's the fear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Banished.
Yeah. And to look at on a, maybe on a daily basis, how many ways did you belong? How many ways were you included in life today? Because it's outrageous
right.
the ways in which we're included and belong to life.
That's great.
And
yeah,
sort of a fun way to, I don't know, like some people keep a gratitude journal. Maybe you have a journal of all the ways I belong today.
That's true, yeah. Still breathing.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, and I mean just, you know, the person at the grocery store who
right.
checked out my groceries for me and the, you know, the friend who whatever and the club that I belong to or the, you know, my coworkers at work or the, you know, all the places that I belong, that I'm
yep.
a part of, that.
That's a great idea. No, I'm definitely going to do that. I'll make a little notebook and carry it around and then record about it.
Yeah, it'd be a fun practice.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're most welcome. Thanks for calling in with the report.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rob. You're listening to Open Air. Jen, I just love hearing from people who we haven't heard from in a long time. It's great.
Me too. And that part about, and I'm out here the whole time.
Yep.
I love it.
I love it. We're going to break for an important message here, Jen, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Jen.
Hello.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Shree.
Hi, Shree.
Hey. So I guess I've been a listener to the podcast or the talk show for a while. I called once before and spoke with Sherry, which is great. And the reason I'm calling now is I have a lot of voices.
Okay.
And I'm still understanding or learning the difference between content and process.
Uh-huh.
So I think the more I pay attention, the more I realize how everything, it's really about the process and not about the content, although it seems so much like it's about the content.
Yep. You nailed it.
And I guess, yeah, and I'm a little overwhelmed by voices. And I guess if it's okay, I'd like to just mention the two pieces of content that I have.
Sure. Yep.
Because that's just a little easier for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the first one is, you know, I'm hunting for a new job and looking for ways to improve myself. And I applied and, you know, went through two rounds of interviews and didn't hear anything back. And I have immediately this stream of thoughts in my head that say, well, you're clearly a loser, you're not going to get any job, and your friend recommended you. And it just goes on and on and on. And I focus back on the breath, and then it's okay for a couple minutes, and then the thoughts start again.
Yep.
Focus back on the breath. And it can just be so overwhelming, I start to believe maybe I am a loser. Maybe I really won't get the job. Maybe this is the end of my entire career. And I'm just not sure where to find that compassionate voice, whether the compassionate voice is really lying to me or whether it's not lying to me. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Did you want to mention the other one, or should we take them one at a time?
Oh, okay. Well, so the other one is I've had a friendship for several years, decades really, and there's just been a lot going in my life in the past 9 months, and I think there are certain things I haven't addressed with that friend that have occurred recently, and I just don't really have the time or the energy to necessarily deal with a lot of that, not at the moment that I'm in right now. And I constantly hear voices saying, well, you have to call her now, you have to talk about it now, you need to do this, otherwise she'll never be your friend again. And it's just so overwhelming. I don't know how to make the space or the time for myself.
Yeah.
And it's very confusing. What's the voice, what center, or is center playing tricks on me, or is it the voice that's playing tricks on me?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, got it. And it is, it luckily, it's very much the same, well, at core, it's very much the same process, isn't it? Which is that there are self-hating voices inside your head who are talking to you constantly, and it's creating a situation for you where you're overwhelmed by it, and you lose the ability to tell the difference between, gosh, what's helpful and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So,
and I don't really know what to do about that. It feels sort of like I'm drowning.
Yeah.
You know, I can't necessarily get up for air, and it's, and I remember Sherry saying something, when the voices become stronger and stronger, it means you're making progress.
That's right.
And if that's the case, I've been making a lot of progress for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And so I'm just waiting to not make progress anymore and to just be there.
Got it. Got it. I'm sure other folks are right with you on that one. So tell me, you said you've been listening to the archives and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I have most of her books, and I've been going through it. And the one that really actually speaks to me is not that there's nothing wrong with you. I know that speaks to a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And the one that really speaks to me is When You're Falling, Dive.
Yeah.
For some reason, that really resonates with me. Yeah. Because I seem to be falling a lot, falling into the hateful voices.
Yeah.
And the one thing I find is, wow, I don't really need any enemies, because these voices are pretty much horrible enough in terms of the things that they say to me. And it's hard to find the voice of compassion to counter that. And I thought one exercise I could do is write down every hateful thing they say on a memory card and then turn it around and find the opposite compassionate response. But I don't know if I have time for that.
You don't know if you have time for that? You mean because you couldn't get all the hateful voices down because there's so many, they're constantly...
Either that, or it's just so exhausting to think of the compassionate response. It actually seems like the hateful voices are more foundation for life than the compassion.
Yes, it definitely. It definitely feels that way. Luckily, it is not at all that way.
And the other scary part is, I was speaking with a friend of mine who also followed Sherry, and I just said, "What if I just stopped listening to them? What would happen then?" And that thought was so scary. I really didn't know what to do. It felt like the earth was shifting. I said, "So if I don't have any hateful voices, then what do I do with my life?"
Yeah, you are so on the right track. I mean, with everything you have said so far. And have you been on retreat with us ever?
No, I unfortunately haven't. I have a lot of voices, and I was still weird using the word voices, because I'm like, I'm not schizo, guys, really. There are voices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't worry, I don't need medication.
Yeah, yeah.
I just haven't managed to find the time to do it because work takes up a lot of my life. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and the one thing I want to do is, you know, the retreats are wonderful, but I also want to do the daily practice. And the one thing I find hard is to sit still and meditate. And instead I find myself, okay, I'll listen to the archive or I'll watch another book or I'll do something else or listen to one of her, you know, CDs instead of actually sitting down and taking the 5 minutes a day to meditate.
There it is.
And that just seems scary because I'm like, okay, if I meditate, what if nothing happens? Or what if something happens? What if it's too overwhelming? So I'm just sort of, I just need some guidance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear that. And I just think it's very, it's fabulous and courageous that you called. So I would strongly encourage you to get to a retreat. And the reason why is that all the pieces are there for you to practice with. And it's very similar, actually, to the conversation we were having with Rob. The overlay on top of it is that, well, something scary is going to happen, or I'm not doing it quite right, or it's too overwhelming. I don't really know the difference between compassion and the voices. So this is the overlay conversation on top of and hiding the fact that underneath that you're practicing. And so you said it way back early in the conversation when you said that, so there are the voices like, oh my God, I'm never going to get the job and I really am a loser, blah, blah, blah. And then you come back to the breath for a couple of minutes and then it comes back in.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what practice is. That is what practice is. The fact that you can do that at all is the miracle of practice. And then all you're doing from there is just practicing it. But, and actually, it's very also like the conversation with Catherine in that we need a ton of support for it because it feels like conditioning is way more powerful than we are because the habit to listen to conditioning and to believe that the conditioning is who I am is so very, very strong that it's like breaking an addiction.
Mm.
And so that's why I would encourage you to come and be on retreat. Not, I mean, as you say, you need a daily practice. You know, you can't rely on being at the monastery to practice. But to come on retreat gives you that really, really solid support.
Foundation.
Foundation, that's a great word for it, in order to move forward.
Okay.
And to me,
and then what do I do? And what do I do? So until I can come on retreat, it's just basically focusing on the breath. And then what if what the voices say come true? So let's say, you know, with a friend, I finally end up talking to her and she's like, well, I don't need you in my life anymore.
Yeah.
I guess then that is what it is. There's nothing I can
truly
do about that.
I mean, exactly. And that's true all the time, isn't it? Life is what it is. And then what we do is, okay, can I be okay now? Of course I can. Might I be sad? Might there be some feelings about that? Yeah, but that's okay.
I guess part of it is not expecting everything in life to be happy. Sometimes things are going to be upsetting and sad, and you're just like, okay, but I don't need to beat myself about it or be cruel to myself about it.
We don't need to allow self-hate to be to give us a beating over it. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a recording and listening practice at all?
I've been starting to. It's just the listening part is really painful. So so far it's just been the recording.
Yeah,
going back
to
doing the listening is very painful. It's almost a little too much.
Yeah, because self-hate still has the reins there, I would project. And that's okay. It can be painful. You know, it can be painful. And now I know you said there's nothing wrong with you. It's not the one that resonates for you. Have you read it?
I have read it, and I think it has sunk in slowly. You know, I first was introduced to her book maybe 15 years ago, and I was just like, didn't understand it. And so there's nothing wrong with you is similar to that. I'm just like, oh, no, there is stuff wrong with me. And the more and more I read it, the more and more there's awareness. I'm like, oh, that's what it is. But the one that hit me right away much easier was When You're Falling Dive.
And I'm right with you, because what's so powerful about When You're Falling Dive is it's like it teases the parts apart from each other, instead of just being one big, you know, undiscernible ball of suffering, it begins to really tease out the pieces, and I appreciate that too. The reason I was asking about recording and listening and that There's Nothing Wrong With You book in specific is that I project there are parts of you who could really, really use some encouragement right now. You know, some unconditional love, some support from an internal mentor who knows you're doing an amazing job And who can recognize that? And who can remind you of that daily? And that's what the There's Nothing Wrong With You book can help you connect with. And then recording that. Recording that support for yourself.
And I think the thing that I found is, you know, when I constantly go outside of myself to friends or family asking for support, It's great. But at the end, I really have to, I need to be able to support myself, because otherwise I'm going to them over and over and over, And it still doesn't feel right. And when my mentor tells it to me, or the mentoring part of myself, I'm just like, oh, that feels a little bit right.
Yep.
And then I don't have to wait for someone to return my call, because The mentoring part of myself is always there.
That's exactly right. You're on it. You are on it, right?
Well, it's hard. It's a very hard path.
It is. But again, it's interesting. I want you to listen back to this archive. Listen to everything you've just said. And then that the summary statement is, it's hard. Because the summary statement could be, yay, this is great. I'm doing this. I know how to do this. Now I'm just going to practice it.
Maybe when I go take that shot of vodka, I'll be right there.
You know? So yeah, listen back and hear what you're hearing.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sri. You're listening to Open Air. Those voices are persistent, aren't they?
Oh, they are so persistent. And it's such a good reminder that, you know, we don't want to go to sleep for a minute, because they're right there.
Yes. And I'm grateful to have this support and all of the many ways that we are supported, because as we've established, we need a lot of support.
Yeah, truly. Yeah. And I really appreciate hearing from people on all parts of the path, you know, just talking about where they are and what they're seeing and what they're working with, because I truly get so much out of hearing everyone talk about it.
Absolutely. Definitely. And we have another call here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Somehow I figured out the secret of getting on.
<Uh-oh>,
seemed like for like 2 years, I just, you know, I waited in line for like 16 weeks at a time, and recently I've just been on. Not sure what I did.
Maybe it's the letting go and letting life decide.
It is out of my control.
It is out of your control, yeah.
Something I've been working with recently, something that I got that was useful in one of the groups when I was training at the monastery, I remember you kind of coming up with an example. And you kind of talked about, you know, like, being at sea and kind of clinging to a raft, watching the ship go down and getting tired and really kicking and, you know, and just getting more and more tired and realizing that all of a sudden that you're a mermaid. Because that's what I do.
Which part?
Oh. Again and yet again, I get into this struggle and this feeling that I'm just tottering on this edge and I'm not going to survive. If I fall asleep, you know, that's it. I'm just going to drown.
Got it. And forgetting, wait a minute, I'm completely adequate to this. I don't need to be clutching.
Right. I'm a mermaid
who's
comfortable in the sea.
In fact,
it's not a problem.
What I do. I love this.
Yeah, and it's something that's like an image that... like thinking in pictures that it's like when I remember that that story, it kind of reminds me that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, it reminds
that I'm clinging to the raft.
Right, and
as
that
opposed
you don't
to,
have.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
so fall asleep in the ocean, no problem.
Exactly, and isn't that just right there? That's such a fun thing to see, that just in remembering that, having the awareness, wait a minute, I'm clutching the raft. That's it. You know, conditioning would want to, so what do I do about that? No. That was it right there. Realizing that I'm clutching the raft, I'm already the mermaid.
Yes, and when I'm clutching the raft, I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I am fighting for my life.
Yep, but only when you don't see that you're clutching the raft. As soon as you see it, you're the mermaid again.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and it's again and yet again, may it be so. Yeah, that's all I really wanted to kind of look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then just like we've been talking about with several other folks tonight, then just practicing that. Practicing being aware of when you're clutching the raft and practicing being the mermaid.
Right, because eventually the story doesn't work anymore, and, you know, it's like conditioning comes in the sideways and, you know, then I'm caught again.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, so it's not like like there's a trick to consciousness. It's just, you know, kind of like, you know, as soon as you learn the trick, conditioning learns it too.
Right, and then I'm back with what Michael was saying before, which is that, I can't remember how he phrased it, but, you know, the thing Sherry was saying at the public talk of, you know, always open to the next tip.
Yes.
You know, because so, yeah, we have awarenesses, and then conditioning scrambles to catch up, and it's like Catherine was talking about. So, you know, this huge awareness, gosh, I want more support. I want to be closer to the monastery. Okay, well, how are we going to work with that? Okay, well, huge dissatisfaction about where we are now. Okay, and then we're ready for the next tip. And then life drops in, you know, maybe we listen to an archive or someone else on the radio show or wherever it comes from, we get the next tip. Oh, yeah, that's so helpful. Okay, I'm going to focus on that for a while.
Yes. Thank you. And I love you. Which is sometimes takes my skin off just to say that.
Do you say it often to Beth on your recording?
Oh, yeah. For about 5 years now. I've got hours of that kind of. Yeah, it's much easier to record. And it's also interesting, the time difference. Like, I can record for hours and hours and hours, and it only takes me 5 minutes to listen to it.
Hmm.
Is the feeling.
I see. Got it. You have a special time warp for a thing.
Yeah.
It is amazing, isn't it? It's like that relationship is just deepening and deepening and deepening.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like less and less ground. But then, you know, birds and mermaids and fishes don't need ground.
Say that again.
Like, it's just like losing ground isn't necessarily like a detrimental thing. I feel like I want the ground.
Yeah, exactly. But if there's no ground, there's nowhere for conditioning to stand.
Right, then, you know, birds fly.
Yep, that's right. Yep. And mermaids swim.
Yeah.
Yep. Very good. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Beth.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You've been listening to Open Air. It's been our pleasure tonight to have Jen with us. Thank you for being here, Jen.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Michael, and thank you always for being so dedicated and having the show for us week after week after week after week.
You're very welcome. It's great pleasure and privilege.
Oh.
So we'll do it again sometime.
We will, yep.
Okay, great.
Thanks,
Michael. Jen.
Good night.
Good night.